Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97, won the ticket. Open lines, 248-539-9797. So, a lot of show. We've had some college football. We've talked about the this Tiger team that just won't go away. Got some Lions discussion going on now, but of course it's open lines, so anything that's on your mind is fair game. At 248-539-9797. Tarek Skubal joined the morning show. We'll play the best of what he had to say. Coming up in the second half of the show, also 1235, another edition of Are You Gonna Eat That? Gator, a couple things with the Lions roster here. One is James Houston. Do you think we're gonna see James Houston work his way into this lineup? Because I find this to be one of the most curious. I mean, it's no big deal. They're winning games. James Houston for half a season looked unstoppable. Like, he was going to be a problem rushing the passer. And he was a healthy scratch in week one. Last year, he got hurt. Some of the vibes, it feels like we got out of Allen Park were, sounded like they weren't necessarily counting on him. And, you know, I always think back to the way the teams see it and the way the fans see it. And maybe the all-timer for that is Quentin Berry, like, where the team was never thinking he was going to be a solution, but the fans thought they'd really found one. And it was pretty clear that the team was like, this ain't lasting. Are we ever going to see James Houston make an impact?
I don't know. I'm concerned about it because I'm a big fan. I don't know how you can ignore the production from that rookie season when he finally got his opportunity. And is this what they're doing? Are they saying a similar path of what happened that rookie season where he wasn't getting it done in practice? So if you're not getting it done during the week, then you're not going to see time on Sunday. And when they finally unleashed him, he was great. Is it the same thing that's going on now? Are they just not seeing enough in practice? Or is it a depth issue? They seemingly have too many guys. I don't know. But I want to see him play. Because he is productive. If he's a one-trick pony, I don't care. It's a fantastic trick. If you can do the triple Lindy, I want to see that. You know, he gets to the quarterback, period. Okay, great. You put him in there. You signal to everybody. You know that he's only in there because he's trying to get to the quarterback. Maybe we should run the ball. Well, okay, go ahead. Do it. Rely on the other guys to stop the run. He's going to pin his ears back and get the quarterback. But if he's not getting it done in practice, if he looks different, if he's hampered, these are things we don't know. And that they're not likely to let you know. But it is a question I would love to know from Dan Campbell what's happening where James Houston is not seeing the field on Sundays. And I would imagine the first thing he would say is, well, we got a lot of guys. Yeah. We got a lot of guys.
And they make so many correct calls. I'm not even saying screwing this up. They're doing something wrong. I'm just curious as hell what the real story here is.
Yeah. Remember years ago with the receiver Mike Williams from USC? They got him back with the whole, you know, really when Roy Williams and Charles Rogers, all those things that they had gotten, the receivers they got at the same time. And Mike Williams could not see the field. And we're like, why is he not playing? Just, if he sucks, put him out there. Let us know as fans that he sucks, right?
Yep.
The difference is those Lions teams were terrible. And, you know, fans just wanted to see him play because they wanted to see him play. This Lions team is really good. And the coaching staff has earned enough cachet with the fans now that you kind of go, okay, I guess I trust the coach, but I still want to see them. But if they're not playing them, there's a reason.
I think if you're a James Houston fan, Gator, like yourself, you should be really concerned. All right. He's a healthy scratch. They only dress three defensive ends: Aiden Hutchinson, Marcus Davenport, and Josh Pascal. You know who they rushed a lot from the edge? Derek Barnes. Okay. If James Houston, they tried to work him out at linebacker to give him some more versatility, maybe so because they wanted to dress this guy on Sundays, but he showed like, hey, he's just not a linebacker. He's an end that rushes the quarterback. Maybe it wasn't good enough for the coaching staff, because when you only dress three guys, Hutch played a ton of snaps. Davenport was the second most, of course. And then Pascal was rotating in. And then when they needed someone else, it was Derek Barnes. And they dressed a bunch of linebackers. Houston, healthy scratch. That's not a good sign. You know what I mean? It's going to take injury or something. And by the way, they knew the Rams were down a tackle, and they still didn't dress James Houston. What's that tell you?
It tells me that they like other guys, is what it tells me.
Wow.
And that they like the guys that have the versatility, whether it's versatility to play inside and outside or versatility to play outside and further outside.
Because Levi can go outside, too.
And he was playing at times. And when they got that sack, I think Anzarike was playing on the outside, and so was Davenport. I think they met him, and I don't think Hutch was in the game at the time. I could be wrong on that. But it is a little concerning, yeah. Why is James Houston, why was he a scratch in the first game, and is he going to be a scratch on a regular basis?
You want to develop depth. You want to develop quality depth. So, I mean, you know, when you say, is it a little concerning? I'm like, it's a little concerning if you got a James Houston jersey. It's a little concerning if your name is James Houston. Am I all that concerned about the Lions? Not really.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you.
But, and so I'm
a fan, but I'm disappointed, but I get it.
I just find it to be awfully curious to have one of the elite skill sets that every team is looking for. And basically, you know, I got it last year. He got hurt. Maybe he's still getting over the injury. It seems like that shouldn't be the case. They were trying to repurpose him, though, in the preseason, and they admitted as much, and that seemed odd as well.
Well, then they bailed on that. But it's kind of like, I mean, the difference, I guess, is this guy was already on the roster, but if you wanted to see Ennis Rakestraw play a lot more and he didn't play as much as you wanted to and you're disappointed about it, well, give it time. Yeah. He'll play plenty. I think the same thing probably holds true with Houston in that injuries happen. It's a part of the game. It's a brutal, violent sport. And at some point, he's going to have to be called up at the very least for that. Hopefully, he's called up instead because he's just dominating in practice when he's getting the opportunities. He has to make the most of his reps.
The other thing that was interesting is they brought in a kicker. They brought in Greg Joseph to join the practice squad. What do you think that's about?
I think it's a smart move that says, let's identify a kicker out there that in case Jake Bates gets hurt, that we can slide somebody in quickly before we have to scramble and find one, because, you know, kickers do get hurt in the season. You see somebody you like, there it is. I don't think he's there to push Jake Bates. I don't think it shows any lack of confidence in Jake Bates. It's just as simple as, you know, we need to have a guy on the practice squad that's a kicker, period.
Yeah, last year he made 24 of 30 field goals with Minnesota with a long of 54. He has hit a 61-yarder. That was 2 years ago. He signed with the Packers and made their initial 53-man roster, but then was released, and the Lions grabbed him. So you don't think this is pushing Jake Bates at all? This is just mere... We can park this guy in the practice squad, and now we got a kicker, an in case of emergency kicker.
That's exactly what I think it is.
Okay. Can you think you make anything of this?
No, I don't. They have the utmost confidence in Jake Bates. The Fipper has said, like, he's one of the most talented, you know, kickers he's been around. So I don't make anything of bringing in a guy just to take a look, just in case.
Yeah.
For injury.
The funny thing is about Bates is I want to see consistency inside of 45, inside of 50. And I want to see pressure field goals. And he made a couple, and he made one of them was a pressure field goal. And, you know, that's strong leg, established. Ability to hit a 60-yarder, established. So, got to hit a bunch inside of 50.
Was that one of, like, did you guys feel some kind of pressure, even though it was a short field goal, but it's Bates' first time in an NFL game? You know what I mean? The game, like, hey, you got to tie it. I felt it wasn't like a gimme.
No, I think there were 65,000 fans in that stadium were going, all right, he's got this, right? I don't know.
We trust you, Jake.
I don't think anybody walked in there with the same feeling that when Jason Hansen was lining
up. Yeah, exactly. No. Yeah.
No, that was, yes, that's exactly what I was like. That's short. He's got this.
I mean, he should.
No issue, I don't think.
It's like, can we knock it? Can we go back like 25 yards and really make it challenging, and then I could feel better if he misses it?
I didn't go that far.
Well, no, but
I wasn't in favor of them taking a loss.
No, let's kick the ones we can.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.